See, a king will reign in righteousness, and rulers will rule with justice. Each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert, and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. Then the eyes of those who see will no longer be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the rash will know and understand, and the stammering tongue will be fluent and clear, and no longer will the fool be called noble, nor the scoundrel be highly respected. In chapter 32 of Isaiah, we first read of how the kingdom of God will be ruled and of how the reign of Christ will rule with justice. In this kingdom, those who have entered its gates will have been tried and tested, refined by the fire. And the kingdom will be run as should have been Israel when the Lord was bringing together the nation and giving instructions to Moses of how the law should flow and the systems of government should be set. What was to be aligned with the ways of God, though, soon went off the rails, and men again proved themselves unable to discipline themselves as they were entrusted with the things of God. Poor rulers, mob decisions, political influences, all led not only Israel away from God's ways, but we are witnesses today to the destruction within our own borders, as for generations we have elected and put into office men and women who have no fear of God, and with that they invoke at times his name with disdain and great disrespect. As the leaders change the direction of the nation, whether by a joining of their movements or by forced submission, the direction, the ideology, the heart of the nation, that of her people, changes. Some will grow hard, some will grow weaker, some will rebel, some will hide away, and some will, by their enthusiasm, march and parade in the streets at the chaos being raised and the destruction being heralded as welcoming. We live today in a world that is the complete opposite of what this future kingdom will look like. If we continue in Isaiah 32, starting at verse 6, we will see those that are today's leaders. It goes, "For the fool speaks folly. His mind is busy with evil. He practices ungodliness and spreads error concerning the Lord. The hungry he leaves empty, and from the thirsty he withholds water. The scoundrel's methods are wicked. He makes up evil schemes to destroy the poor with lies, even when their plea is needy and just." Tell me, if you can, where today we can see men other than those that we have just read of in Isaiah 32, 6 and 7, who are rising up in positions of leadership. Oh, some may be found, but their numbers are so small that the notice of them is overtaken by the vileness and the corruption that consumes hope at every level and piles lies upon lies until to want to know the truth, one will need to want to hear the truth. And with the hearts of the people so badly broken and being felt beaten, they would rather sign a meaningless peace treaty with their captors just to escape any of what may yet lie ahead. More lies upon more lies. Our headlines today, because of the heat that was starting to rise up as some people were awakening to what is happening, has yet been changed again. We can go back throughout history and find that when there needs to be a change, a cover, that there are rumors of wars and wars themselves break out. It's time for the church to acknowledge what she has been silent about for generations, and that is that as Christians, we are at war. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion. He lies crouched in the hearts of evil and vile, weak men who would sacrifice all that is good for money, prestige, fame, and power, to have history remember them kindly and favorably. Men and women today with ideals that will destroy life, take from the poor, kill the weak, and leave in their passing a trail of destruction so great that heaven mourns. And man proves that the justice of God is righteous. In the kingdom here in Isaiah, those who put darkness for light and light for darkness will be no more. No more will corruption reign. No more will the homeless be, nor the hungry or thirsty have to beg. Matthew Henry wrote, "Bad men shall no more be preferred by the prince." When a king reigns in justice, he will not put those in places of honor and power that are ill-natured and of base and sordid spirits, and they care not what injury or mischief they do so they may but compass their own ends. Such vile persons, when they are advanced, they are called liberal and bountiful. They are called benefactors, but it shall not always be thus. When the world grows, wiser men shall be preferred according to their merit and honor, which was never thought seeming for a fool, and thus shall no longer be thrown away upon such. What he speaks of here is the seizing of power. The contemptible practice of what we know today as DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. On paper, it looks like a workable idea. After all, diversity means a variety or assortment. Equity means being just and fair, and inclusion means something being included. But the problem herein lies that with this, there is no simulation. Everyone stays on their own page, and the pages in the book expand, but there is no continuation to the direction of the book. Just an accumulation now of characters who want to write their own stories and determine their own endings. How's that working out today? Well, look at the current kingdom outside of your window. It is, after all, the kingdom of the prince of the air, and the rulers and the authorities and the powers of this dark world. They are the armies of the spiritual forces of evil in and from the heavenly realms. These entities, these powers, they work to set man against man, and they have had their workload lightened because the hearts of men have become so cold to the ways of God that the work that is needed to complete the tearing down of mankind, well, there are more than enough men and women who are willing to step up to the plate and carry on the duties and the wishes of their father, the devil. And yes, I say this about them as the Bible tells us, that if you do not walk with God and his son, Jesus Christ, then you are an enemy of God and all that he is. Wisdom will call upon the man or woman who seeks the face of God. In Proverbs 9, verses 1 through 6, hear the invitation of wisdom. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine, and she has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here." And she says to those who lack judgment, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live and walk in the way of understanding." But across the way, folly beckons also. Proverbs 9, 13 through 18. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious." But little do they know that the deer are there, and that her guests are in the depths of the grave. The dangers are both outside of our doors and within ourselves, and are very great if we listen to the wrong voice, if we seek with the wrong motives, and if we attend with the wrong attitudes. Christians today are called to pick up the word of God and to run with it, to fill the world with the echoes of the Lord's truths, and to intercede for those who cannot see and cannot hear. Truth bears hearing and reveals the status of a people, of a nation, a community, a family, and finally, of an individual. Truth had been denied by many over the generations, and many have answered the siren call of folly and chose not to pursue wisdom's call, and that is how lies gain strength and the weak become weaker. We have now come to see what we were once warned about years ago, that those in power, those who desire to change history, will, but first by changing the past, which will enlighten the truth that they want to have remembered. And so we see that now truth is being run underground. It is being hidden at a time when it needs to be heard, and the stench of death becomes stronger in the body of the nation, in the separation of its people from God. What happens when no one does anything? Where are the capable men? What happens when some do something, but what is being done is questionable? Where are the truth seekers and their voices? What happens when some do what they deem best, even though they've been instructed that what they are to do is leading in the opposite direction, and what they propose to do can lead to destruction, even to death? Where are those who are called to be the heralds of truth, the watchmen on the wall? Are we so overrun by enemies within that there is no one to stand guard and cry out in the night of the attacks? Where's the church? History is repeated because with each succeeding generation, the lessons that should have been learned are transformed into something else as the consequences reveal choices made that distorted, changed, or blatantly hid the truth from future generations. And what is left behind in an ever-changing world is the theory of truth and the construct or fabrication of it in another reality. There are two kingdoms, two rulers. One brings life, one brings death. Choose this day whom you will serve, and love one and hate the other. Maranatha.